Do me a favor, everybody. Take your phone. Take your phone, if you have your phone, and just set it down on the ground right in front of you. You don't have to throw it. You can just set it down. I don't want you to break it. Sorry. I was just feeling that. If you're on your phone during service and you're not like using the Bible app or taking notes or something, listen, here's the thing. It's not hurting me in any way, but it's hurting you and it is hurting somebody next to you. Because it doesn't matter if the person next to you is not on their phone. You're on your phone and they're looking at your phone, whether you know it or not, which is distracting them from what God is saying. So anyway, we're going to pray just before we open up. God, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, Lord, for what you're doing in this youth ministry. I thank you that you can, you will, and you are going to use every single one of these students to show your love to their friends at school, to their friends at work, to their family at home, and every single person they come in contact with. God, I pray, Lord, that whatever I say tonight is only from you, and Lord, that you would speak individually, so personally to every single person in here, God. Lord, we love you and we thank you in your name. Amen. You guys can have a seat. All right. Does anybody know the main verse that we're focusing on for this series? Other than Pastor Drew. That is one of them, yes. It is 1 John 4, verses 7 through 12. So if you can throw that up there, we're just going to read through that real quick. It says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God." Y'all good? Cool. "Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. You ready for this? You ready? This is real love. What is real love? It is not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a, what's that word right there? As a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. Is it going? Yep. But if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. Can you go back to the first slide there? So it says, this is real love. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. Every time I read that this week, I was like, God, you're cool. So this is real love. And then it goes on to say what real love is. And it turns out real love is God sending his son as a what? As a sacrifice. So you ready? This is no love, sacrificial love. So we're going to talk about living with sacrificial love. Now, I know you guys, and I know how you interact, at least with people here. I don't know how you interact with people at school. But I have a feeling. I have a feeling that this is probably an encounter or an example of something that you guys would do to show love. Because I think you guys are getting it, and I know because I'm seeing it. And I think we're getting to a certain level as a youth ministry. But if we can grasp this concept of sacrificial love, we're going to go to a completely different level. So here's the thing. My first point, if you are in school and you see somebody walking down the hallway and, I don't know, do people still book check people? Is that still a thing? Let's say it's still a thing. I don't know if it is. I know it was when I was in high school. But somebody's walking down the hall. They get book checked. I'm sorry, Jesus. And you're walking up to them. And you see them on the ground picking up their books. You ready? Let me tell you what I think I would see if I went to your guys' school. Hey, you good? You having a good day? Cool. Hey, praying for you, man. Have a good one. It's super awesome. Like, you just encouraged that person. They don't care. All that matters to them is getting their books back in their hand and getting it to their locker or getting to the next class. So the first point that I have tonight is sacrificial love. Okay, you guys are going to have to remind me because they got printed on two sides. And usually I have one side each. So if I am getting off track, it's because I lost my page. So sacrificial love requires action. That is the first point. Sacrificial love requires action. Now, just real quick, before we really get into anything, I know that the last couple weeks, what we've been having you guys do is during altar time or during worship, we have you guys pray for your friends out loud. We have you shout out their name on who you're going to go and engage in. I know that some of you are really taking this on and you're doing it and you're going out and you're loving on your friends. You're loving on your family. But some of you, and I know this because I used to be this person, some of you, it's just here. And before you can grasp anything sacrificial, before you can actually get a heart to go and love somebody truly how God wants us to love them, you have to pray with them, or you have to pray for them. But praying for them on a Wednesday night because Pastor Drew tells you to is not sacrificial love. That is mandatory love. That means that, guys, you have no idea. Like, I love you guys, and I love, there's so many people that I love, but I have to pray so God can give me his heart. Because I can only love somebody so much without God's heart, without God's eyes. You guys remember that song, the Give Me Your Eyes for Just One Second? Anybody who used to listen to 88.1? That is still my jam. Sorry, I love Caleb. Anyway, so sacrificial love requires action. So I have a story. Can I tell you guys a story? Is that okay? I'm pretty sure I've told you guys this story before, but it fits so well. And every time I preach, God will give me, like, he'll bring up the same story and just give me a fresh revelation on, like, what he was doing in this moment, in this story. And this story, this happened before I knew Jesus. Well, I knew of Jesus. This is before I was saved, before I had a relationship with God. This was when I just graduated. So this was the summer that I graduated. And this is when I was heavily involved in drugs and alcohol. And one thing I want to emphasize real quick, I'm not telling you this to praise or to talk up drugs and alcohol, because I am not at all proud of what I've done. But I am proud and I am super excited. And this is why I love talking about this, because it glorifies what God brought me from and the power that God has. So when I was my summer of my freshman year of college, I was heavily involved in marijuana specifically, and I would get high as a kite every day. Like, I'd smoke 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day. And let's just say if I had the money, I would have been like Snoop Dogg. But essentially what it was I smoked all the time. And there was this one day where I was like, I need to get higher. What's a drug that can get me higher? My friend was like, dude, you should take this drug. And so I was like, oh, okay. I was dumb. I was an idiot. Like, don't ever do drugs, kids. I promise you. They don't get you anywhere. But anyway, he was like, dude, take this drug. It'll get you way higher. And it is super cool. Yeah, man. Anyway, I can say that because I used to be there. But I'm not anymore. So anyway, I take this drug. And he's like, oh, by the way, you got to make sure you're not working today. I had to work in like an hour and a half. And so I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I won't go into work. I didn't call in or anything until the drug took effect. And I was like, oh, crap. So then I called in. But anyway, so he gives me this drug. I take it and I'm driving. And I remember I have to pick up Dylan. He's in junior high at the time. I have to pick him up from middle school. And I'm driving and the lights as I'm driving begin to go side to side. And I begin to hallucinate from this drug called acid. And I get to Dylan's school and I'm parked, and this car in front of me begins doing the same thing, begins moving side to side. And I'm starting to realize, oh my gosh, this is not what I expected. And so I remember I called my older brother and I was like, hey, I'm not feeling good. I'm going to go to the store and go to the bathroom. Can you pick up Dylan? Luckily, we lived like 2 minutes away. So he drove and picked up Dylan. But I had driven into a neighborhood and I was like, okay, stop my car, take my keys out. I got to figure out what I'm going to do because I am freaking out and I ain't never done something like this before. I might lose control and just, I have no idea what I'm going to do. And so I remember my first thought was to call my friends that went to church, that went to youth group, and that were Christian. And I remember I called two of them specifically, and I said, dude, I messed up. I took this drug, and dude, I don't know what to do. I'm freaking out. Like, I don't know what's going to happen to me. And do you know what they told me? No? I had asked them, I said, can you help me? Can you come be with me? Can you pick me up? Can you just do something to help me feel safe? And they said, Kevin, you're fine. Just stay where you are. The drug will wear off eventually. It's fine. I got to go to work. I have plans with my friends later. And now looking back at it, I'm not mad at them because they had their own schedule. They had stuff that they had to do. But in my mind, in that moment, when they are on the phone with me saying, oh, Kevin, I got to go. I'll pray for you, though. And I'll have your back. I'll be thinking about you. And to me, at that moment, that does not matter. It does now. And I'm super thankful for it because it led to something great. And it led to what God is now doing in my life. But in that moment, it did not matter to me. So I finally did something that it was literally my last case scenario, last thing I absolutely wanted to do. I called my older brother. He was a super stickler at the time. Like, he loved to rat me out and stuff. But I was like, dude, I messed up. I told him what happened. And I was like, dude, I need you to come pick me up. I'm more like frantic and kind of freaking out at this time. But he goes, okay, where are you? And I said, I don't know. He said, are you kidding me? Where are you? I go, I don't know, Michael. There's trees around me. That's all I told him. And this kid hung up the phone, and I kid you not, it had to be at most 5 minutes. Michael was at my door at my car. And in that moment, out of everybody that I called, Michael was the one that showed up. And you know how he got there? He hit every single light. He made every turn. He didn't know. He had no idea where he was turning. All he knew was that he felt like he should turn, and he turned there. He did not get stopped once. And Michael got there. And I didn't realize it then, but looking at it now, Michael took the time to sacrifice what he was doing in that moment to come be with me. And not only did he do that, he didn't like take me home. I thought he would be like, oh yeah, we're going to go home and I'm just going to give you to mom and dad and then they can deal with you. No, he took me home, took me to my room, and the entire day sat in my room with me and didn't judge me, didn't hate on me. All he did was have conversation with me because he wanted to be with me. He wanted to make sure that I was okay. And I specifically remember a conversation that he had on the phone. His best friend called him and goes, hey, are we still watching football tonight? And he said, no, I'm going to hang out with my brother. Now, I understand he's my brother, but that's still sacrificial. That looking at it now, that was a picture that helped me see what God's love really is. Do your friends see God's love in you? Do they see the sacrifices that you make, if any? So there's a scripture, it's James 2, 15 through 16, and it says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them things needed for the body, what good is that? There's some dude standing outside in shorts and a t-shirt on December 23rd. You got like a wallet full of cash if you work, or you got something. You know you got like a hoodie on or you got a shirt. Hey, how's it going? Oh, dude, I hope you get warm. Dude, there's this one shelter like 25 miles that way. You should go there. That doesn't do them any good. What does them good is you taking them there. It's actually doing something. So Pastor Drew hit on this last week. But when you love on somebody, when you do something for somebody else, you actually experience God's love. You get to understand a little more. I know it's kind of like a big circle, because in order to get God's love, you got to give it. But in order to give it, you got to get it. So it's a big circle, but you actually have to do something. You have to take action in order to grasp, in order to understand, in order to receive what God's love truly is. And I'll hit on that here in a little bit. But a couple weeks ago, I actually went to Walmart, and it was like 10:30 at night, and it was one of the sketchy Walmarts. And I'm walking out to my car, and this lady walks up to me, and I'm like, oh, no. And she walks up to me, she smelled like booze, and she had cigarettes in her hand, and she's just telling me, she's like, what's your name? Kevin. She asked me my name like 20 times. But she goes, Kevin, I'm at this hotel right down the street, and they, all my stuff's in. I've been staying there the past couple days, but they won't let me in because I'm $20 short of paying the rent for tonight. So they have all my stuff in my room, and I can't get any of it. I don't even want to stay there. I just want to get my stuff out of my room, but they won't give it to me unless I pay my rent. And so the entire time I'm there thinking like, all right, I'll give you $20. Like, I have no problem giving her money. But then as she's talking, God begins to say, okay, how's she going to get there, Kevin? Well, I'm going to give her $20. How's she going to get cab? What's she going to spend on the cab? The $20. How's she going to pay for it? Kevin, what do you have to go home to get to? What are you going home to do? What's going to cost you an extra 10 minutes out of your drive to take this lady to her hotel? 10 minutes in bed? And it wasn't even that, because I don't even go to bed at 10:30. And so I took this lady to her hotel. I paid for her. I talked to her for like 20 minutes. I gave her some money for food. And she stood there crying and gave me a hug. I don't know where she is right now. I don't know what impact that had on her. All I know is that in that moment, she got to see a picture of what God's love was. Not because I said, oh, here's some money. I got to go, though. Because I'm sure a lot of people did that to her that day. It's the person that sacrifices something out of their day for somebody else. Number two, sacrificial love is becoming like someone to win them. Now, this might be a little confusing. Let me explain it. Do you guys all know this verse? Or, like, who talks about this? Somebody said it. Paul. Paul talks about this. He talks about, and I went to the Jews, and I became like the Jews, and I adopted their culture. I adopted what they wore, who they were, all this different stuff in order to win them. And then he says, and then I became like the Gentiles. I went to the Gentiles, and I did what the Gentiles did in order to live them, to win them. All within God's standards. He was still being obedient to God. He wasn't like getting hammered and partying or whatever they did in that time. He was still living under God's authority, but he was doing what he could in order to win somebody. Now, this doesn't really make sense in America, because I can look at you guys and I can look at kids at your school or work or just teenagers in general, and you already dress the same. Like, you probably talk the same. You probably listen to the same music. You probably watch the same movies. So, in a way, other than the fact that you know Jesus and they don't, you're already like them. So in America, there is one way, there is a huge way actually, that you can connect with somebody and actually gain their trust. And first of all, I have to ask you guys, raise your hand if you have an opinion. If you have an opinion, now raise your hand if you will argue that opinion forever. Let me tell you, I grew up in a house where it didn't matter what anybody said. If I believed something, nobody could tell me the opposite. Nobody. And believe it or not, it actually wasn't until I had multiple conversations with David Atwell where my perception kind of started to change. But anyway, and if you know David, you know what I'm talking about. So a lot of times, as Christians, we like to believe that no matter what we say, biblical or non-biblical, is 100% fact. So that actually includes, like, politics. That includes stuff that's going on around our country, not in politics and sporting events, no matter what. Because we're Christians, and I know this because I talk to people all the time that go to church, that go here, that they're like, this is absolutely truth. And I know it is because God spoke it to me. Really? Really? God told you that you should bash on another person? And the thing is, in this country, it's so hard to understand what love is, because love in this country, in this culture, at this day and age, love chooses sides, and biblical love does not. Love in this country is, I agree with this person. I agree with them. But the people that agree with somebody, do they like, can they handle hearing somebody else out? Do they like listening to other people's opinions? No. They like their own opinion. And that's the thing. As Christians, we are the same way. We could be like, oh, I don't like Kaepernick because he kneels. I like Kaepernick because he... Listen, I don't care if you like him, if you don't like him. I don't care. First of all, I got a problem that you guys are willing to debate over somebody kneeling when you won't kneel for people that actually need Christ. But the thing is, as Christians, we do the same thing as them. So here's the kind of the main point of this point is we can show love by sacrificing our view to hear them out. If you guys have ever heard, there's a saying that says, people don't care about what you know until when? Until they know you care. See, I had to learn this the hard way because if you've known me for a while, I used to be super heavily on social media. And I used to post all the time my views and my opinions, not knowing, not understanding that every single person that disagrees with it a little bit is never going to be willing to have a conversation with me. And that includes people that are not saved. Listen, I know Dylan. I can have a relationship with Dylan, and we've had a relationship with brothers. And so because we have a relationship, that's one thing. I'm able to say, Dylan, dude, you can't do that. This is wrong. You can't do this. That's okay because I have that relationship with Dylan. I have that relationship with some of you guys in here, and you guys have that relationship with me. Pastor Drew can walk up to me and say, Kevin, you should not have done that. And I am going to be 100% responsive to what he's saying because he has, since I've known Pastor Drew, he has told me stuff in correction. He's helped me to learn, but that was never the start of our relationship. Our relationship started with him only wanting to get to know me, him only wanting to show me love, him only asking me questions, and that is why I'm okay when Pastor Drew walks up to me and says, Kevin, you shouldn't have done that. Can you sacrifice your view until you build that relationship? Don't get me wrong. Telling somebody the truth is okay if you have that relationship. Have you guys ever, hear people like Christians? They say, "Oh, dude, it's not about relation, or it's not about religion. It's about relationship." You guys all hear that? It is. That is 100% true. Who we follow God is not about religion. It's not about a bunch of rules. It is about relationship. But that applies to people. So when we tell people that, we're saying that, oh, God doesn't like judge us for doing this. Like he's not mad at us and he wants to have a relationship with us. But we also need to say that to them. We're not judging you. We're not mad at you. We just want to have a relationship with you. So sacrificial love is becoming like someone in order to win them. Third point, sacrificial love is a choice. Have you guys ever heard the love is a choice? Raise your hand if you believe that. Okay. I believe you guys think you believe that. And this is actually probably one of my most passionate things. Actually had somebody a little bit ago, he was dating this girl, and he texts me. He says, Kevin, dude, we've been dating for like over a year, almost a year and a half, and... I just, I don't feel the same way that she does. It's like she's still in the honeymoon phase and she's always wanting to like hang out with me and talk to me and like be super happy around me. And I like her still, and I have that at sometimes. But honestly, there's sometimes where like we get to hang out with each other and I want to be with her, but I'm not like, oh yes, I get to be with you. And he's like, it's like she's still in the honeymoon phase and I'm not. And I was like, well, like any relationship, the honeymoon phase, eventually what? It ends, right? When you start dating somebody, there is like there's a passion there. There is. But when the honeymoon phase goes away, that doesn't mean you don't still like them. That doesn't mean you don't still love them. That just means from that moment on, you are actually going to have to make a choice to love them. Because it's easy to go with the flow when it feels right. And that's why and I know this because I've been in the same position you guys have been in. I know how it feels on a Wednesday night or at a conference to receive from God and get something awesome and be like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to go to school. I know how that feels. It feels so good. But love is not about feeling. Because I promise you, every single time, because it was that for me, every single time I received from God at a service or at a conference, the moment I walked into my school, feeling gone. The moment I walked home, or not walk home, got home, and I walked in, and I'm in this high, and don't get me wrong, my parents are Christian. I've grown up in the church, and they love Jesus too. But for some reason, I would get home after this super, like, great night with God of feeling God, and the first thing they'd say is, you forgot to unload the dishwasher. Who knows what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, that feeling, gone. I know how that is, but here's the thing. The honeymoon phase is imminent. The honeymoon phase is a conference. But the thing about a relationship, the thing about love is that when you go home, when you walk into school and you don't feel that anymore, the source that brought you that feeling does not leave with the feeling. I said the source that gave you that feeling, the source that brought you that emotion that you felt the night before, that you're going to feel here tonight, is not going to leave you when the feeling leaves. Because the Holy Spirit is not just a feeling. God is not just a feeling. God is somebody that is with you everywhere you go, no matter if you feel him or if you don't feel him. And if you continue to live your life relying on how you feel, you ain't getting anywhere. I can guarantee you that. All right, I love Naomi, and we've only been married for a little over 2 years. So, I mean, we have tiny experience, but not a whole lot. We got a lot to learn. But when I got married, I had this, like, I was in that honeymoon phase, and I'm sure she was too. But every day when I wake up, there are some days when I wake up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm married to you. Let me go make you breakfast. No, I don't make breakfast. Never mind. Let me go plan a date. Let's go like see a movie. Let's go do all this stuff. And it's really easy when I feel it. But some days, I'm going to be honest, I'm selfish. And I wake up and Naomi's next to me and I'm like, no, just go watch something. I'm going to go back to sleep. And I'm sure she's the same way. This girl, Naomi, this woman, sorry, she ain't a girl. She's a woman of God. Naomi makes me a panini every single day. Every single day. I know for a fact that she does not feel like making a panini for me every single day. But that's what I love. And that's how, if you make me a panini, I will feel so loved. So she sacrifices even when she doesn't feel it. The worship team wants to come up. We're going to go ahead and close. I feel so bad I left this here. I have one more story. And then we'll, just before we get to altar, actually, I'm just going to tell you guys right now, you're going to encounter God tonight if you want to encounter God. You're going to encounter his love tonight if you want to encounter his love. But don't you dare come up here if your mindset is, I can't wait to feel good just tonight and not do anything with it. So, I actually was a Christian and was saved freshman through junior year of high school. And I fell away senior year and in college. But freshman, sophomore, junior year, this is how I know what it's like for you guys, because I was in your guys' place. I know what it's like to have feeling. I know what it's like to know God inside of me wants to do something through me. I know what it's like for God to say, dude, just go talk to that person. Just go invite them to church. And for me to say, dude, my homie's right there. My friend's right there. My boyfriend, my girlfriend's right there. Some random person that knows has no idea who I am is right there. What are they going to think of me? I tell you, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is enough. And I know I'm forgiven for my past. And I don't live in guilt. I don't live in shame. But constantly, constantly. And I promise, this could be you too in 5 years from now. Constantly, I look back on everything that could have been and wasn't. And I look at the excuses on why I didn't do it. And I think to myself now, my friend was there. What would they have thought? Who cares? I'm not in contact with one person I met in high school. Unless they go here. I don't talk to any of them anymore. Maybe I might text them every once in a while, but wherever you're at right now, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years from now, it's not going to matter. It doesn't matter. People leave, people go, relationships stop. Friends go off places. And in the moment that you are in right now, please, please, please understand that you guys are, as hard as it is to believe right now, you guys are in the easiest ministry that God can put you in, because people come to you. And when people come to you and God lives inside of you, that means people are willingly and forcefully actually walking past God inside of you every single day. What are you willing to sacrifice, to give up for a feeling? What are you willing, what feeling are you willing to give up in order to love somebody a little more than you usually do? What feeling are you willing to give up in order to show somebody love other than just talking to them? I know this is what God wants. I know this is what Jesus wants, because when Jesus was about to die, do you think he felt like dying? Everybody stand to your feet. We're not going to get into it. Alan will chill with the keys and do whatever and kind of just do what he's doing right now. And God spoke to me this during worship. as the entire time I prepped my message, I was actually having trouble on what is altar going to look like? What are you going to do in altar? What do you want? What do you want to say? And I got like 50 different ideas, but then in worship, I asked him again and he gave me it instantly. And he said, what were altars used for? What were altars used for? Sacrifices. To bring your sacrifice to God. What are you willing to sacrifice? Is it your phone? Is it being on social media during passing period? Or being on social media at night when you're at home and you could be sacrificially praying for your friends? Is it giving up a video game? Is it giving up going to see a movie? What is it to you? I don't know. All I know is this. I know you have a lot of things that you could be sacrificing. And I also know that until you do, you're not going to get to this level of love. So I'm not going to make it emotional tonight. I'm not even going to... I know it's usually easy to respond to an altar call. The music is loud. Other people are coming up. But it's just going to stay right here. Because it's not about emotion tonight. I promise you, God is more than emotion. And if you can get that through your head and you can understand that, and if you can just believe that, God will do so much more in your life. So if that's you tonight, we're just going to leave it right here. If you want to give sacrificially, and you already know, God is already beginning to put on your heart things you need to sacrifice, I want you to come forward and just begin to give it to God at the altar. We're just going to sit here. I'm not going to make it any more clear than that.